Mahomes takes the snap from under center. He's going to flip it to Tyreek Hill on the end around, coming right to left. Turns it up 35 to the 30. Far side 20. Down to the 15. Cuts back right 10. Inside the 5. Spinning into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tyreek Hill with a 36-yard touchdown run. And the Chiefs have taken a 13-0 lead in the opening quarter.
Rams are going to go for it on 4th and goal at the 1. Up by 8. Goff under center, turns, gives to Anderson. Anderson over the left side, and he's in for the touchdown. C.J. Anderson barrels over for 6 as Sean McVay rolls the dice, and he gets a touchdown.
Brady on a give. Michelle slicing up the middle. Michelle, spin move into the end zone. Touchdown. The hat trick for Sony Michelle, and the route is on in Foxborough.
Foles gets the ball, quick slant. Oh, it's through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey and picked up on the ricochet by Lattimore. He intercepts the ball, 25-30, comes to the near side, 35. It's an interception. It goes right through the hands of Jeffrey. The Saints have intercepted on the ricochet.
Mad Radio on a football Monday. First time we have a full show on a Monday in the last, I don't know, man, like 6.5 months. It's been a while. After a interesting, not a great weekend of football. Probably the best game was the last game with the Saints holding off the Eagles by 6, 20-14. My main takeaways from the game, and we'll go around the room on this, I could never have predicted what happened in Foxborough yesterday. I mean, I thought the Patriots would win just because they're at home and they always win at home, usually. But I could never have imagined them throttling the Chargers the way they did. I didn't even think of it as a possibility to do what they did.
I guess I won't say that I didn't think of it as a possibility. Part of it is because it just makes total sense after, in the afterthought of it. Because you think, all right, what did the Chargers do versus the Ravens, and what was so successful defensively? And somehow people were acting like shutting down the Ravens offense was the same thing as shutting down Tom Brady, even in ailing Tom Brady. And it's just flat out not going to be. The other thing, though, too, Mike, and this is the biggest thing, was it was in Foxborough. It was in Foxborough. I'll 100% be one of the haters that Tom Brady is talking about when they doubt the glorious Patriots. I don't think they can take that show on the road versus the Chiefs and keep up.
But God, I hope you're right.
But it was impressive. I'll give all due credit to the Patriots. That was an impressive, just absolute, what'd you say, throttling?
Yeah, throttling.
That's a good word. Throttling of the San Diego Superchargers.
I don't know why I ever doubt them. I don't know why I did it. I picked against them on Friday. I should never do it again. I'm wearing a Patriots hat right now. I'm not going to act like I'm some sort of, I don't know, afflicted person with AIDS or something along those lines, like I'm a leper because I am, you know, a follower of these guys. I doubted my Jehovah, and guess what? I'm right back on it. I don't know how they do it. I mean, and you know what the other thing is? You know what the other thing that's funny is?
Yeah.
I mean, why the hell are the Chargers running cover 3 all game against the Patriots? That's the stupidest thing ever.
Well, okay, this is where I disagree, and I'll go back to the same thing with the Steelers from the last several years. It's very easy to say, why aren't you playing man versus the Patriots? If you can't play man, why would you play man versus the Patriots? It's not a choice at defensive. Like, there's no defensive coordinator out there that's saying, I'm going to be the guy that plays zone versus the Patriots and takes them down. It's that it could have been even uglier. Like, it's as simple as that, I think. So, I have a hard time criticizing defensive coordinators who are doing the best with what they have. And the Chargers,
but they have really good defensive players. They have Joey Bosa.
They've got seven.
They have Derwin James.
They've got 7 defensive backs out there. And when you do that, you become very predictable no matter what coverage you're running. And, like, there's not, like, Tom Brady's able to dink and dunk his way down the field. And can I ask you guys this? I had no idea. I thought that when people called Tom Brady a system quarterback, like on social media, I thought they were always doing it ironically. I always thought that was just being like, oh yeah, system quarterback.
So
because I saw yesterday a bunch of Patriots fans getting insanely angry like they do. Do we have the recording of that one call to our friend Andrew Filippone?
We do, yes.
We'll play that.
We'll pull it up.
This was, we'll play that. That was from before the game on CBS Sports Radio, but they get so angry. So I started looking at it. I just ran a search on Tom Brady system quarterback, and lo and behold, there are actually a lot of people that think Tom Brady is system quarterback. I will agree with you if you concede that the Patriots system, as we've seen installed so gloriously here in Houston, is basically Tom Brady knowing exactly what you're going to do before the snap. If that's what you're saying, the Patriots system is Tom Brady knows exactly what you're going to do before the snap, and then he takes advantage of it, and sometimes it looks like just dinking and dunking down the field, but it's Tom Brady's brain destroying you. Then, yes, Tom Brady is a system quarterback.
James White had 15 catches yesterday.
Yeah.
15.
No, yeah, it's just like...
This is why, like, when Deion Lewis goes to the Titans and people are like, oh, how will they replace that production? That! You can go back and find the tape of that. They'll do it with James White.
And Sony Michel, who had 126 and three touchdowns.
Like, how many year after year after year of all these various running backs that are so productive in the Patriots system does it take for people to finally... I feel like a Patriots fan now because I'm the one acting like a
yes.
Patriots don't get enough credit.
Come to the dark side.
I'm like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. Nobody respects this. Nobody respects this. This was... In the pregame yesterday on CBS Sports Radio,
yep.
Our friend Andrew Filippone, who does radio out of Kansas City. He's in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
That's right. Who's your friend out of Kansas City?
Well, I used to have one named Danny Parkins, who's now in Chicago.
I can't keep all this straight.
I know.
Your many
all the success.
So anyway, Filippone was on doing radio, and apparently he said he was one of those people that Tom Brady was talking about. They were saying, hey, the Patriots aren't that good anymore.
Yeah, he was picking the Chargers.
This was what one angry Patriots fan had to say.
Here's Kevin in Maryland. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Kevin.
I grew up right near Bill Belichick. I worked with the organization. You know nothing. Let me tell you, this is what they do. They are better pre-snap than you. They are smarter than you, okay? They are mystically 15-0 at home. You are the idiot. All right, I've been there.
So they're gonna go to the Super Bowl. Then they're gonna beat Kansas City.
Shut up. I've been through with Belichick. I've been there.
Yeah, and now you're screaming into a phone on a sports talk station.
That's
so
good,
thank
Jonesy.
You.
You go. So
defend the wall.
I just love that I grew up near Bill Belichick.
We are oppressed. We are oppressed.
And the most depressing part is now this guy might be right.
He is right.
Oh, God.
He is oppressed. He's oppressed. Get it through your head, Mike. The Patriots are successful. That's the theme of the show for years and years. Embrace it. They're great.
Let me tell you the most impressive part of that game. And I don't know who the better tight end in the Chiefs-Patriots game will be, but... Rob Gronkowski will be a better blocker than Travis Kelce when Rob Gronkowski is 57 years old.
Yeah.
Like, as limited as Gronk is now, Gronk in the run game was just phenomenal. And I think a lot of people will say, well, that's like congratulating Kevin Walter for being a good blocker. You know what? So, yeah. Like, Kevin Walter honestly didn't get enough respect back when he was blocking as a receiver for the Texans. People thought they were just giving lip service. And, that was an integral part of that offense. Rob Gronkowski, look, he's not who he used to be by a long shot. But there are very few tight ends that are capable of blocking. Like, he's a better blocker in the run game than a lot of offensive tackles. Some very close to home.
Yeah, probably the tackles the Texans have. So that was the Patriots. I do feel good that the other three games, the teams that I've rooted for all won. I rooted for Kansas City to win. I rooted for the Rams to win. And I rooted for the Saints to hold off the Eagles as well.
I'm so glad that Kansas City whooped the Colts, because I think a lot of people were trying to make this an actual reality, that the Colts blowing the Texans out 21-7. Define a blowout, I guess.
It could have been 42-7.
Right. It wasn't a close game, and they played poorly in the second half after getting out to that quick start, Indianapolis. But everyone, it felt, was acting like, oh, the Colts are leaps and bounds ahead of the Texans. They're not leaps and bounds ahead of the Texans. They're like a step ahead of the Texans, but this is a soft team. They are fraudulent the way that they played in Kansas City. I mean, they were terrible on offense. And think about this. In the last six quarters, that Indianapolis Colts offense with their vaunted offensive line scored 6 points. Six!
Yeah.
Because the block punt touchdown that they scored to get on the board at first against Kansas City. It's an offense that has Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, a good offensive line, that's it. They are not as far away as people would like you to believe they are from the Houston Texans.
I don't know. I think that the problem is, and I would say that people are justified in fearing this, is that what if the Colts actually are that much better than the Texans? which means that the Texans are even that much further away than everybody else.
Don't think
division.
Like that.
What this a depressing
look,
thought.
I don't know if, and Mike, you were the first one that noticed this very early in the game. Andrew Luck was throwing like a man was, or was that you, Paul? One of you noticed it first that Andrew Luck was throwing like a man with an affected shoulder.
I don't know if it was one of us. I just couldn't believe that on these third downs. I've been watching Andrew Luck play on third down for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
It'll be like third and 13, and he's like checking the ball down to a running back. I'm like, what are you doing? You throw the ball downfield.
I think, and this is where I'll disagree with you also, Paul. The Texans at no point in the regular season or the postseason for the next decade will be facing the Colts outdoors. I think they're that game.
Yeah.
Very early on, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like every narrative you want to say about dome teams playing in cold weather. Their defense looked like they just, like they didn't even want to play. They couldn't tackle. This is what I've always interesting to me in colder weather and sloppy conditions, because it wasn't extremely cold, but it was relatively sloppy conditions, is tracking players horizontally across the field. There just seems to be something, because guys aren't confident planting. Everything just seems to be a little bit in molasses, so the timing's all off. And when Sammy Watkins and these guys are just crisscrossing the field all over the place, the Colts seemed completely inept at tracking them. And then likewise, on the offensive side of the ball, they looked like a dome team. They couldn't play in these sloppy conditions. You know, they flat out couldn't run with the precision, either in the running game or the passing game, that they're accustomed to.
Watkins played really well in that game, yeah, too. I that's the best I think he's looked in Kansas City. I actually remember watching, and I thought to myself, oh, yeah, this is the guy that was supposed to be better than DeAndre Hopkins that the Bills gave up all these draft picks to bring in. He looked really good. We all know how fast Tyreek Hill is. It's
amazing.
It's still ridiculous. I mean, remember the punt where it got called back by a penalty, but I mean, he ate bleep.
So fast.
No one touches him. Yep. He gets up and he still ends up running for a huge return.
It's amazing.
They were just so incredibly fast. All over, like speed all over the place. I don't know what you do about that speed. Like, I don't know how you keep up with that speed. And the Chiefs' defense was able to get to Andrew Luck. That's one of the big differences with Andrew Luck in this game, too, was compared to the Texans. And I think if you look at the way the Chiefs are constructed and where some of their pass rush comes from, I think the Chiefs were more able to consistently win on the outside versus the offensive tackles, where the Texans, that's not necessarily their strong point. They don't have guys careening off the edges all the time. J.J. will win on the outside because that's where he usually lines up. But, you know, Clowney is most effective rushing on the inside, and versus good offensive lines, there's only so much you can get done with that.
I underestimated the impact of the Colts in the cold, because I didn't really think of them as an indoor team, and part of it was because...
Really?
Well, here's why.
You mean they aren't, like, constructed as an indoor team?
Yeah, because what I think about the Colts as an indoor team, I think about Peyton Manning, and how in the regular season he wants things so meticulous and so the way that he wants it, like indoors, nobody's talking, very quiet, all that, and that's not going to happen in the NFL playoffs. I think of Andrew Luck as just tougher than that, just in terms of his physical style. And so when I think about them, I don't think of an indoor team. But there's no doubt, if you're watching that game on Saturday afternoon, like the cold had some sort of impact on his arm.
It looked like every single Colts team from the past, like the 2003, the 2004 Colts. Yeah. Go outside, and as we talked about last week, how Teddy Bruschi said, oh, you're going to dirty up your white uniforms.
Your pretty white uniforms.
Right, and I mean, it just felt that way. I honestly, I'm not going to lie, it was very fun for me to sit back and say, ha ha, those are the same soft Colts that get punked by real teams, physical teams, whenever they have to go up and play against them.
It is. It's hard, though, because I can't sit here and with any credibility gloat about it, because I just saw my team get trounced by them.
Yeah, we can't say anything.
Like, I watched. It was two straight weeks of humiliation for Texans fans, because first you got humiliated actually on the field, and then you got humiliated by association, by the team that just, like the bully that you just beat you up, just got smacked down on the playground, and then the bigger bully peed all over him while he was crying on the ground. That's the guy with urine on him who's crying on the ground, he beat you up last week. It was very humiliating.